First, I want to tell you a little bit about myself. I love mushrooms on my pizza. I love curling up on the couch and watching a movie. I love my children. I love driving a freshly washed and cleaned out car because it just drives better. So the car is not driving well right now. I love Jesus. I love getting together with family and friends. I love playing games. I love my husband, Joe. I love traveling to new places. And I love all of you here. Those are just a few things in life that I love. For as many words as the English language has, sometimes we don't have quite enough. When I just told you about myself, I named many things that I love. The problem is the word love can be used so generally and frivolously for almost anything these days. And actually, the English word for love that we use in the Bible, it's used anywhere between 310 times and 550 times, depending on which translation you read. So that's a pretty significant difference. So that tells us that the word, the single word love that we have translated from English to English is not just translated from one single word in Hebrew or Greek. Because in Hebrew and Greek, there are a handful of words that we've translated then into what we use as love. Today, I want to look a little closer at one of these words specifically. First, I want to mention another one just to kind of give a little comparison. The first Greek word that we translate, one of the Greek words that we translate into love is phileo. And this is often understood as having affection or for someone or something, not in a romantic, but in a kind of a friendly way. Sometimes it's referred to as a brotherly love. And phileo is not used when for the word of love when we're referring a love towards God. The other Greek word that I want to focus on today is the word agape. And I'm sure many of you have heard this word. This word is used in 1 John verse 4:8, where it says, God is love. God is agape. This word agape is used in the verses of chapter 13 that Katie read. We have translated agape into the simple word love. When we look throughout Scripture, we can get a kind of a feel for what this agape means, giving us a clearer understanding of what it means when we say love in this context of 1 Corinthians. This love is a divine love. It's not a love that you or I can bring forth on our own. We can't will ourselves to have this love. And this love has to come from a source to be drawn from. And that source is God, because as we just heard, God is love. And in Romans 5, we're told that God's love is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And I'll be saying through different times, I'll say agape love, and I realize it's kind of like saying love, love, but just as clarification on that. So this agape love isn't romantic. Romantic love has a sense of desire or need on one's own part, something to be filled. Agape love is to desire the best for the other. Not a love necessarily for that person, who they are in the present, but for who they are fully in Christ. And we are told by Jesus, to love others with this agape love in John 13:34, where Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. Jesus also commands this same love. In Matthew 5:44, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. This love that Jesus commands for both our neighbors and our enemies is the agape love. This isn't just well wishes and loving them when it suits you, when you're benefited, or when it's easy. Let's take a closer look at several of the verses from 1 Corinthians 13. I'm guessing that many folks are familiar with this verse, and some of you have probably are even able to recite these verses. Most of us have probably been to a wedding or two where these verses have been used, reminding the couple what their love should look like. The thing is, these words weren't written as marriage advice. These words were written to the church, to a body that has many members, members who have different gifts, abilities, and members who need to work together to be the body of Christ, as Paul had just reminded us in chapter 12 prior to these words on love. So if these words are not instructions for married couples on how to love one another, what exactly are they saying to each of us and the church and how we are to be the unified body of Christ? At the beginning of chapter 13, Paul reminds us that we can have gifts like prophecy, the ability to understand the mysteries and knowledge of God, and even have faith that can move mountains. But if we don't have this agape love, we have nothing. All those other gifts are essentially ineffective without this love. So love is. Love is patient, forbearing, not hasty or impetuous. It's steadfast. The words in bold up here are from the NIV translation, and the words after are from either other translations or some synonyms to help us get a deeper understanding of each of those words. Love is kind, sympathetic, gentle, helpful. Love does not envy. It isn't jealous or eager to possess something. Love does not boast. It doesn't express self-pride. It doesn't brag. Love isn't proud or arrogant or have a feeling of being superior. Love is not rude. It doesn't act unbecomingly, improper, or offensive. Love is not self-seeking. It doesn't have its own interest in mind or insist on having its own way or demand its rights. Love is not easily angered, easily irritated, or provoked. Love keeps no record of wrongs. It doesn't keep an account or a tally. Love does not delight or rejoice in evil, injustice, or wrongdoing. Love rejoices in the truth, the reality, the divine truth revealed to humanity, in sincerity. Love always protects, bears all things. Love always trusts, believes in all things, has faith. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres and endures all things. Love never fails, ends, or falls. And I will leave this up here so that you all can continue to refer to that as I continue on. So now what? What do we do with this information? Is this agape love even something we can do? Or do we just say, this is a crazy, impossible list and give up? We are told that God is this love. God is the complete package. But we also know that none of us are God, or nor should we attempt to be God. So is it even a legitimate question to ask if we can do this? And if I'm being honest, some days it just seems like even the phileo, the brotherly love, can be like an impossible task. I have no intention of actually providing answers to any of these questions this morning, so sorry. But what I'd like to do is think about some scenarios that might that some of us might face or come upon in the days ahead. None of these examples are about being right or wrong, promoting one side or another. It's just about looking at these different possibilities and realizing that individuals on all sides are being called to have this agape love. So how do we do it? Let's take the discussion on the possible overturning of the Roe v. Wade ruling in the Supreme Court. What are some things that you've seen or heard from one side or another that display agape love? What have you seen or heard that maybe is less than agape love? Can we have this agape love no matter the outcome of the Supreme Court's decision? Maybe you've learned that a friend has said some very hurtful words to another person about you. Do you accuse that person of what you've heard? Do you ask them if they've said those things? Do you say nothing? Do you tell them how you feel? How do you respond to this friend with agape love? Can you stay friends? For those of us on social media, I almost have to chuckle because I feel like in some ways social media has been set up to see agape love fail. Was the story or information that you shared done so in agape love? The comment section. Is there room for agape love in the comments? For those of you without social media, you may have one less barrier in bringing forth agape love. You're in line at the grocery store with an overflowing cart, and the person behind you has four items. Is there an opportunity to show agape love? Do you invite them to go in front of you? Do you act like you don't see them? Do you think, well, last time I only had three, and the person in front of me didn't let me go, so why should I do this? You think, I'm in a hurry, I don't have time for this. Where is that opportunity? It seems like there's opportunities daily for both simple and complex ways to practice agape love. I want to keep asking a few more questions. There's just so much more to explore and think about with this idea of agape love. Say I'm here with Jim, and I do something that I think ticks the boxes that would be agape love. But Jim does not receive my action as loving. Was it actually loving? Is this like asking if a tree falls in the forest and there's no one there to hear it? Did it actually make a noise? Possibly. But this, along with other questions, are what was going through my mind as I read these verses. And honestly, I don't know the answer. I'm on this journey as much or more than all of you, figuring out how to be an effective agape lover. If it's truly agape love, will it be received as such? Or is it about the process and the relationship? Maybe it's not so much about the end result or that final act or gift. Might it be about how we got there and where we go from there? At the Mennonite Church USA Delegate Assembly at the end of the month, there is a resolution that may be possibly voted on that has been submitted by persons in the LGBTQIA+ community, asking the MCUSA denomination and churches to offer a confession for the harm they feel has been done to them, and also a commitment to be fully embraced and included in the Mennonite Church. That is a very brief and likely insufficient synopsis, but a little background. There seems to be much focus on will this resolution pass or fail, as that final decision being the act of love or not love. I'm not saying that that might not be true, but I'm wondering if we might consider this whole process the act of agape love. Was the resolution submitted in love? Has it been read through and considered in love? Love being all of these things. Have the conversations that we've had surrounding this resolution been done in love? Here at Zion, we had the opportunity several weeks ago to sit around tables during the Sunday school hour and discuss the resolution. Was that a time of love? Will the conversation in Kansas City where the delegate session is being held be done in love? I'm asking this of both supporters, opposers, and everyone in between regarding this resolution. Whether this resolution passes or fails, will there be agape love shown within the Mennonite Church USA? And what might agape love look like if the outcome that you hoped for isn't the one that happens? In this long list of things describing love, one thing isn't on the list, and that is love is easy. In fact, most of the characteristics are pretty hard. Some might even say impossible without the help of the Holy Spirit. As a parent, I feel like I should throw in the towel right now because patience is the first thing listed on this list. God obviously has a sense of humor because my children seem to know, have been given the knowledge of where my patience button is and know exactly how to push it. Does this mean that when I lose patience with one or both of my children, that I do not love them? It's not what it means. To me, it means that no matter how often my patience is being tested, I remain in relationship with my children so that we can all learn to love each other in ways that are given and received as agape by all of us. As Paul closes this chapter on love, he reminds us that in the end, prophecies will cease, knowledge will pass away. At this moment, we see only part of the story, but one day we'll come face to face with God. We will know fully and be known fully. Three things remain with us on this journey: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So between now and then, how do we love?